welcome to Grace Point Church. I invite all of you that are out in the foyer still to come on in. This morning, we are going to talk about a few different things, but right now I want to just tell you what's been on my heart this week. I was reading in Acts chapter 4, and this most amazing story has just really inspired me this week, and I felt God wanted me to share it with you. It's the story of a lame man who was born that way. So all his life, everyone who knew him just knew that he could not use his legs. And when he was old enough, he would sit at the gates and beg. He needed money so that he could survive. So he would ask people for help. And one day, Peter and John were going by. And maybe they did several days. I don't know. But on this particular day, when he asked them for money, they looked at him and they said, "We don't have silver or gold, but what we have, we'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And they took him actually by the hand, and he stood, and his ankles, it said, became strong, and he could jump, he could leap, he could walk, and he was praising God. He knew that it was God who had done this for him. And Peter and John said to the people around them, "It's by faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see now was made strong. It's Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see." The next day, there were some people that weren't very happy about it, the rulers of the Sanhedrin. So they called him together, the teachers of the law, and they had Peter and John brought before them. And they said, "By what power or name do you do this?" And Peter, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "If we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and we're being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, but who God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." So this name of Jesus, it's awesome. It has power. It has power to heal us. They called them in again, and they commanded them. They said, "Do not speak or teach in the name of Jesus anymore." But Peter and John said, "What's right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to listen to him? You be the judges. As for us, we can't help speaking about what we've seen." Can you imagine if you saw that, somebody that you knew for 40 years, it says he was 40 years old, all of a sudden he can get out of his wheelchair and walk. You would want to tell people. You would want to explain, this is Jesus' power. This is what he can do. That's the name of Jesus. Mountains shake. Angels bow. People are healed. Chains are broken in Jesus' name. And when we see these things, we can't help but singing, shouting, and telling people about them, even if it's not politically correct. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess this name of Jesus. But what a privilege and honor it is for us to love and serve him in the here and now. So if you can just cling to that thought about the name of Jesus, then let's stand together and let's sing about that great name, the power of the name of Jesus this morning.
At your name, the mountains shake and crumble. Oceans roar and tumble. At your name, angels will bow. The earth will rejoice. Your people cry out. Lord of all the earth will shout your name. Shout your name. Fill up the sky with endless praise.
Father, we can't begin to fathom the depth of your love for us, the thoughts that you have for us. And so today we come before you with hearts filled with gratitude. We celebrate you, Jesus, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the one that we give glory to. In you there is life and healing. And so we come into your presence today and we look forward to how you're going to continue to meet with us. We thank you that we can worship you. We pray that your Spirit would meet with each one today. That life and healing that alone comes from you would be extended to each one. That we would leave here today having met with you and having been transformed by you. Father, we give you all praise. We love you. And we're so glad that we can be in your presence right now. And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning, everyone. My name is George. I'm one of the pastors on staff here at Grace Point. I just want to welcome each and every one of you to our worship service. For those of you who have been gone for part of the summer or recently were on a holiday, welcome back. It's really, really good to have you here. It's great to be together again. We're at a very exciting point of the year. We're going back to school. I know the kids are excited. The parents are even more excited because we get back into rhythms again that are, you know, more livable, and kids are doing homework, and we love that. So welcome back, and welcome to a great new ministry season. As you came in, you would have received a worship folder, but just a quick word to those of you who are worshiping with us for the very first time. I want to welcome you especially. In the chair in front of you, there is a connections card, and if you would like to, we'd invite you to take that to hand, fill that out at the beginning of the service now, or as we're talking and passing some important announcements on to you. You can give us some of your contact information. We'd like to give you information about our church family, answer any questions that you might have, and you can take this card at the end of the service and meet up with one of our welcome attendants in the Welcome Center, and if you give them the card, they're going to give you a small gift. For the rest of you, if you have a prayer request, a change in address or email or whatever, you can use the card to pass that on, that information on to us, and you can put that card into the offering plate. But for those of you worshiping with us for the first time, welcome again. Take this card to the Welcome Center at the conclusion of the service. We appreciate that. A few announcements that we want to touch base with you on in the worship folder that you received on the way in. Those of you who have been blessed to have a child in the recent history, we're having a baby dedication on Sunday, October the 4th. There's information at the Welcome Center. Also letting you know that we're going to be running discovery classes 1 and 2 on Saturday, October the 3rd. You can sign up at the Welcome Center as well. Want to remind you that this coming Sunday, in a week from today, we're having our annual fall ministry kickoff, our barbecue, and our show and shine. We've got lots of people helping out for that event. Thank you for all of those of you who are going to be volunteering, who've brought some gifts or some prizes for the show and shine. You can talk to Pastor Dan if you have more gifts to donate. He's the handsome guy in the white shirt with the beard singing this morning. You can also have opportunity to help. There's still some spots that we're looking for people to fill in terms of volunteering. So there's sign-up boards outside the auditorium entrances. You can make a difference signing up there. For those of you who like to ride, if you have a motorcycle, there's lots of folks lots of guys at Grace Point who like to ride. We're going to be meeting on Saturday, September the 12th at 8:30 a.m. At the Husky Station on Ellerslie Road and 91st Street. Stands will go up at 8:45. We're going to head out to Pigeon Lake, have some coffee together, and just enjoy a great ride together, weather permitting. We're going to be doing a ride the following Saturday morning, too, so if that one doesn't work for you, we look forward to hanging out with you on those Saturday mornings, and we're going to see how far into the fall we can take those rides. Also want to let those of you know who are going to be working with our youth that there's a special Plan to Protect session scheduled for you on September the 22nd. And those of you who are working with our children, our youth, working in the nursery, every year we do Plan to Protect refreshers. Just letting you know that inside your worship folder there's a couple of dates there. We all have to take the refresher course, and we want to, so that we can stay on top of making sure that we're honoring our kids and protecting one another and our kids in the proper way. Lots of other stuff happening inside your worship folder. Take those to hand and have a look at those. Check our website out as well. May God bless you as you worship with us this morning.
As we continue our time of worship this morning, I'm just going to call the ushers forward. And this is something that we do. We give back financially to God. We're about to sing a song, Great Are You, Lord, where it says, you know, God gives life. God gives love. He gives us hope. And this is just one way that we can give back to God this morning. So continue to worship. Feel free to sing with us. And then we'll ask you to rise once the ushers have finished going through. Thank you so much in advance for your giving.
Reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation. We're still at that spot in Matthew where Jesus is preparing to send out the 12 on mission. And he's sharing with them exactly what they can anticipate by way of receiving his authority, his power to heal, to proclaim freedom, to impact the lives of others. but he's also telling them what adversity they can face. And at the end of his talk, he says to them, anyone who receives you receives me. And anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me. If you receive a prophet as one who speaks for God, you will be given the same reward as a prophet. And if you receive righteous people because of their righteousness, you will be given a reward like theirs. And if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how it speaks to us and gives us guidance for life, how it draws us closer to your Father heart, how it challenges us to become all that you've invited us to be as your children. We pray that your Spirit would speak to us now, that these words of life that you have for us would transform us. We pray for our children who are going to go to their time of worship and teaching now, that you would speak to them through the leaders who prepared this week the message of hope, the message of life that alone resides in you. So, Father, we look forward to what your Spirit is going to say to us. We're glad that you are here and that you will make an impact on our lives. We praise you. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Children aged 3 to grade 2 may go to their time of worship and teaching in the Grace Kids Wing. God bless you as you go.
So there is a movement. No, they're all moving out. That's a good introduction to what I'm going to talk about this morning, actually. How do you start a movement? How do you start a movement? Or a revolution? Or a reformation? Well, let's say we would sit here for a while and do some brainstorming. What would it take? What would it really take to do that kind of stuff? Pull it off. To pull off a movement, a reformation, or any of those earth-changing movements that have described society for us today as it is. And we know that society as we know it today is the result of many movements, of many reformations that have happened, of many revolutions. I know whether you like history or like watching historical movies or anything of this stuff. I love to a certain extent, love history, not all of it, but some things in history, how things came to be and how things were developed. And we know that many of the revolutions in the past have described and have determined where we are today. There is a French Revolution, which certainly has changed the world. There is a Reformation happening in Germany, which has influenced Christianity as we know it today. There are movements up to this day who stand for certain things. They want to change society. They want to change perspective of society. So and we are tasked this morning, and if you would be tasked this morning to pull one of those off, what would you do? And as I was sitting there this morning, it just dawned on me, it would also be a generational thing, how we would start that. There was something dawning on me this morning when I was just sitting there. If I would have asked Pastor Craig, I don't know whether he's here, he would have a different idea, how to start a movement today, because the whole thing of social media didn't even dawn on me when I was preparing. But that's one of the things that we have nowadays as a tool, don't we? Social media, in order to get the message around. But at least 3 things I would suggest we need in order to get a movement going. The first thing is we need to have a compelling vision. Someone or somebody or some people need to have a compelling vision, a vision that they are sold out to. And that can be anything, but there must be something that is so powerful that they are pulling off, because any kind of movement, any kind of reformation, any kind of change will face adversity. That there's a secret. And you have to have enough power to get through that and enough vision and enough conviction to get through this. So the first thing you need to have is a compelling vision. You need to see something. You need to have something in your mind that you need, that you know that has to change, that people have to know. So the first thing is a compelling vision. The second thing you need to have is people who help you, followers. People who come alongside that are of the same mind, have the same conviction, they have the same ideas, they have the same thoughts, and they have the same vision. Join in that vision. They're on board with you because you cannot pull it off alone. So you gather those people around you, you talk to others, you network, and get this whole process going. And then use tools, whatever you have available. And the third thing that you need for a movement to be sustainable is support. You need to have a support network to resource you, to give the resources that you need in order to get this going and to maintain this movement. You need a vision, you need followers, and you need support. At least those three things to pull off a movement. Well, it's no secret that Jesus pulled off a movement. God is on the move. And he did exactly that. He followed the same principle. It's nothing spiritual to those principles. They are all over. There are things that you need. You need a vision. You need something. You need a message. You need something that gives you the right to proclaim and to say what you need to say. You need people that you surround yourself with who carry on that mission because you cannot do it alone. And you need support. Otherwise, you can't do it. You need very practical support. And this leads us to the text that we are looking at this morning. As Pastor George mentioned already, we are finishing off chapter 10, which is a very important chapter in the book of Matthew and also in the journey of the followers of Jesus Christ and the movement that Jesus was bringing into this world. And today, the challenge is before you to join that movement, to be part of that movement. I don't know about you, but maybe it's because I'm getting older a little bit. But you think a little bit more about leaving a legacy. Because you know that time is running out. It's getting shorter and shorter. Your strength is limited. And you think about legacy. You think about, what do I leave behind? What is the trace, the trail that I leave behind that I would like others to follow? And I do know that there is nothing more compelling to know that what I have done has made sense, it had purpose, and I have changed lives. No matter what that is, in any area of life, this is something that gives a very deep satisfaction that what you did changed people's lives for the better. And you and I are called to be part of a movement that will shake this earth and change this world. That movement has started thousands of years ago, when God made an astonishing promise that all generations of the earth will be blessed through Abraham. And then he built on this movement. Step by step, God set these things in motion. We don't have time to get back and see history unfolding. But then Jesus arrives on the scene and he says, here it is, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And kingdom of God in Luke and in other Gospels. But the kingdom of God is at hand. It has arrived. It is here. Let's go. The movement of God has come upon us. And the movement of God is among us today. God is moving today. Do you want to be part of something that changes the world? Do you want to be part of something that makes a difference? Which is beyond your daily grind and making it through retirement and paying off debt and doing all the other day-to-day stuff, which we all need to do. But don't you want to be part of something bigger? Something that captures your heart, your attention, your soul, and you just say, whoa, I want to do anything. This is what I want to do. I want to be part of that. And that's exactly what Jesus was coming to bring, this kingdom of God. And here he takes these disciples and he sends them out. He multiplies himself, as we have mentioned, as we talk through this text. He calls his disciples, summons his disciples, names them, and he says, guys, now I'm sending you out into this world. He's multiplying himself. He gives them the power to do what he did, the same message that they were supposed to preach when they went into the different villages. He says, guys, you are now on mission for me. Go out. Tell people the kingdom of God is at hand. He gives them the power to do what he did and to declare that God's reign has come. And then he also gives them a warning. Pastor George has talked about it last week. He says, guys, this is not a walk in the park. A movement always has people who move against it. You're always running against the mainstream. You are something that goes against society. You start a movement and it takes a while to get things moving. So you will have adversity. People will be against you. They will not like you. They will hate you. They will actually kill you. So here is a test for you. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you willing to pay the price? But he also says, I will provide. I will provide. Don't worry about it. As you go and as you make more disciples, I will provide. There will be people that will take you into their house, that will give you the practical means to do what you need to do, to stay overnight, to have food. I will be with you. I will be sustaining you. I will give you strength. And then there is also a blessing that wherever you go, whosoever life you touch, and whoever opens his or her heart to you, you will be a source of blessing to them. You will change their lives. You will impact their lives. And that's where we're at in our text, the last three verses of our text. And there are three questions that we would like to answer this morning as we look into this text. Three questions. The first is, how do I meet Jesus today? How do I meet Jesus today? The second question is, how does God provide for his movement today? How does God provide and support his movement today? It's his movement. What is he doing in order to keep it going? And the third question is, how can I participate in God's movement today? How can I be part of what God is doing? So before we answer those questions, let's take a closer look at the three verses. Just to see and understand what Jesus is talking about, the text that Pastor George read to us this morning. So in verse 42, Jesus says, "Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." So as I said, Jesus finishes his whole discourse on mission. And then he talks about those people that will be favorable towards those disciples who went out on mission. In other words, what impact they have on these people and the impact that these people, or the blessing that these people will experience. It's interesting to see the whole scope of Jesus' mission. He is almost like this. He thinks of everything. You know, he thinks of everything. He thinks of the people who needs to be sent, who needs to be equipped to go. He talks about the provision for them. He talks about protection upon them. He talks about adversity and all the stuff that they have to face. And he talks about even the impact that they have on those who are favorable disposed to them. And that's what Jesus, this text comes. He said, "But whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." What Jesus is saying is, I am so closely attached to you that wherever you go, I go. Whatever you do, I do. Wherever you enter into a house, I enter into this house. I am with you. And sometimes we have to learn to spell that, what it really means. I'm with you. It's not just distant with you. Yeah, I think about you every once in a while, you know, when I think about you, or when you're in crisis and when you cry out to me. No, he says, I am with you. I am part of what you are doing. I am so closely attached to you that you become me in a certain way, properly understood. I become you. Where you go, whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives the one who sent me, is even God. We are all one. Whatever you do is done in my name. Those who recognize this authority as disciples of Jesus welcome Jesus. And those who reject him, obviously, or reject you, will also reject Jesus. It's a very simple, basic truth, but we will chew on this a little bit later on. So the second thing then he says in verse 42, he who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person reward. Jesus obviously is thinking of Old Testament times. He comes from that. He is very familiar with this. And he knows that in the Old Testament times, prophets were those people most of the time who traveled around and who talked about the things that God put on their heart. That's a prophet. A prophet is somebody who shares what God put on their heart. It's nothing so much to do but prophesying the future. We always like to put so much emphasis on that. But the idea of a prophet is somebody who speaks on behalf of God and speaks truth in a certain situation. And those prophets were there in the Old Testament, and they lived ever so often by the support of other people. There are stories in the Old Testament that we will look at later on, but there is a story. One, for example, Elijah. You know, Elijah, he faces, the whole country in which he lives in faces a drought, and he is fleeing that, and he needs to go somewhere to be supported, and God sends him to a widow there in Zarephath, and he says, you know, that widow will take care of you. And this widow receives the blessing of a prophet, because with him host, with the fact that she hosted him, she had enough food supply. That he was, food was always there. You can read up on this miracle in 1 Kings 17. And this was always there, enough food supply. He even healed her son. She received the blessing of having a man of God in her house. There was blessing pouring out on that. And Jesus is talking about this principle where you go. If somebody opens him or herself up to a man or a woman of God, that person will be under the influence of God and the blessings that flow from God. And maybe some of you could share those experiences that you have had. I still remember in my early years, my parents, my dad was a pastor too, and we often hosted people in our house. In those days, in Germany, maybe even more than even here, you don't put people up into hotels. You host them in your house. And we had tons of people always in our house. And one of the benefits, my benefits, was that I spoke English. So my job always was to translate, because my dad didn't really speak English that well. So I learned English pretty early and learned to translate. And I got to know very interesting people, and literally from all over the world, that were staying in our house, from Egypt and from Lebanon and from Asia. There was from Singapore and from the States in those days when I was still in Germany, and Canada. And I got to know a whole bunch of people. And I have to say, those people, some of them made an impression on me as a young kid. It was just something when they were in our house that you can't describe. It was a blessing flowing from them. And Jesus is talking about this. And then the last in verse 42, it says, "And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." Jesus sums it up and says, you know, he talks about the little ones, and he talks about you as disciple. You don't come as the elite. You don't come as the one who have a whole bunch of entitlements. You come as the little ones. He talks to them later on and uses the same title for his disciples. You come as the little ones, as the unrecognized ones. You come as the ones that people easily overlook. But if anyone gives you even a cup of cold water, the reward will not be forgotten. See, in those days, to give someone a cup of cold water was something that was required by hospitality. So it was something that if you traveled in those days and you run out of water and you knock into somebody's door and it says, "Could you give me a cup of cold water?" It was a requirement of hospitality to give someone a cup of cold water. And you don't have to even be saying thank you for that, because that was normal. You don't even say thank you. It's an expectation that you have that you can build on when you go into this house. But Jesus says, even if you do that, it will not be forgotten. The littlest thing, the most natural thing. If you do this because somebody is a follower of Jesus Christ, and you do the smallest thing just to show your support and to be behind that, it will not be forgotten. So how do we put this all together? What do we learn? What is Jesus saying here? So we had three questions, as I mentioned in the beginning, and I don't know whether you remember them. What was the first question? How do I meet Jesus today? It's a good question, isn't it? How do I meet Jesus today? So if you have listened carefully to the text, you might have a hunch where the answer comes from. How do I meet Jesus? You meet Jesus in the followers of Jesus, in his disciples. That might be a very easy, it's not a deep thought, really, isn't it? But think with me about that. Jesus says in the beginning, if you go into a house and somebody receives you, he receives me. This person in this moment receives Jesus by receiving a stranger from the street, a stranger because he is a person of Christ, a follower of Christ, and he receives him. You receive me. You meet Jesus today in other followers of Christ. Christ has so much identified himself with his followers that he literally says, where you are, I am, and I'll be with you. In his last prayer that he prays on earth, in John 17, he says those very profound words, where he says, I in you, and he talks about the disciples, and then he talks about the Father, and you in me, and therefore I pray that you protect my disciples wherever they go. He prays for their protection in this world. Because I am in you, and you, Father, are in me. We are together. And while because this is so, I pray for your protection on my people. So if you pray, Jesus, I want to meet you today, Jesus might answer your prayer by sending you someone that belongs to him and that may be the right person at that time. And how often may you have even experienced that? That Jesus has met you and in your situation through somebody else who came at the right time, said the right word, put his arm or her arm around you and said, I love you. You're important. And that meant the world to you in that moment. Because in this other person, Jesus met you. He came to you and he spoke to you. But this also has a flip side. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, Jesus meets your neighbors, your colleagues, your people that you meet on the street and that you interact with through you. Jesus meets these people through you. You are representing Jesus. When you go to your office tomorrow morning, Jesus is going to the office tomorrow morning. And he is meeting through you those people that you touch base with, that you talk to, that you rub shoulders with. He is meeting them. That is an overwhelming thought. That wherever you go, Jesus goes. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And I talk about followers of Jesus Christ. Those who have made this commitment and say, I want to follow you. If you do, if that's your intention, if that's what your will is and your desire is, if that's how you live, then this is true. You go wherever you go, Jesus goes. And that's how people meet Jesus. And if you pray for those around you and pray for them, Jesus, please meet them. Think about that. He may have met them already because you were there. You talk to them. It is through you that he meets them. It's through you that he brings this message to other people. That brings a whole different perspective onto my life, doesn't it? That I'm aware of this. That in my life, Jesus needs to be visible. And how that also will become, how this also will call me out to live a life that is worth representing him. That truly represents him. That God can work on my character and change it in such a way that it more and more reflects him. That it more is more visible through me. How do I meet Jesus today? It is through his disciples. Jesus has you and me. And he sends you and me out into this world. This is how the kingdom of God will come. This is how his will is being done on earth. It is through you by simply doing it and being out there. The second question that we have asked, how does God now provide for his mission? How does he provide for his movement? How does he keep this going? Well, you may guess the answer. Through people. And we may call them through people of peace. People that are positively disposed to this message. People around you, your neighbors, your friends that don't reject you because you're a follower of Christ. Those people may become very instrumental in the extension of the kingdom of God. Those who never are the leaders, who may never be the big ones, but those who just are there to give what they have to support this mission. And it's may simply to be favorably disposed to you, to lend you an open ear, to take you in, to help you in what you're doing, to support you, to maybe give money to what you're doing, to the mission that you have, that the kingdom of God has. This is how God supports his mission. He always uses the means, your means, and the means of other people. And again, this is so evident throughout the Bible that Jesus did not do miracles in order to support them. Yes, he does miracles. I truly believe this. But the normal way of support that God gave, it always showed, is other people. That he used their resources in order for the kingdom of God to move on. We heard the story, just mentioned the story of Elijah, this prophet. And he supported him by this widow that opened the door. And this widow who didn't know him became a person of peace to him and says, and became also then under the influence of the blessings of God. When Paul was traveling in Europe and he came to Philippi and testing the waters there and see where he can go, what he needs to do. There was a woman named Lydia who opened her house to this band of men there that just strange preachers and took him in and says, here, you can stay in my house. And by that, she became a person of peace and says she supported the mission. She became an accomplice, if you will, by just doing that. And she received blessings in return because her household turned to Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ. And so we can see and move on into this story to look out for that where God is already working ahead of us to provide for his people wherever they go. This, again, has two sides. You understand? The one side is that you can be the beneficiary of that. That as you go to be a disciple out there, in spite of facing all the animosity and people not always favorably supposed to because you're a Christian, you will face people who are open to you. You will. Because God is at work around you all the time. And he will have those people. You just need to have open eyes and ears to see them who like you. In spite of that, you're a Christian. And that you know and that you live according to those principles. They might be even intrigued by that. Have an open ear for that. God is using those people to further his kingdom. And the flip side of the story is, where is God calling on your resources that his mission can move on? Where is God calling on what you have to give that somebody else or something else can be and will be supported? And the third question that we have asked is, how can I participate now in God's movement? How can I participate in God's movement? You may sit in them and it's all wonderful. I want to be part of that. It's actually very easy now, isn't it? Have you understood what we have said so far? Just offer what you have. Just give what you have to this movement of God, to Jesus Christ. Take your life. Whatever you have, whatever is yours, and say, this is yours, God. I want to be part of this. And however little this is and however much it is, it is yours. I want to be part of what you are doing in this world. And you see, there can be many, many different things. Gladly, we are not all the same. We're so different. And Pastor George, and we have mentioned that many times, that we're so blessed, for example, in this church by so many different gifts and talents and people. In fact, this church only works because so many are just giving of what they have. And by that, I not just mean money. That's part of it. But there's somebody who cleans the toilet so that when you come in, the toilets are clean. There's somebody who vacuums the house. There's somebody who puts up chairs. There's somebody who looks after the technical things when something goes wrong. There's the outside that needs to be taken care of. There are many, many volunteers who just help out in certain ministries, who just give of their time and their talent for a very fraction of the time during the week just to be there, help out, make an impact. In fact, right now, there are many in the children's wing who just volunteer their time for this moment to impact your children. There are many who support this church financially so that we can do what we do, so that we can reach out, impact other churches, become a hub for other people and other churches to learn and to benefit from that. How can you be part of what God is doing? Just give yourself. Give of what you have. And it doesn't matter how much it is and how little it is. Just give it. Don't hold tight on this. And say, God, here I am. I just want to be part of what you are doing. And who knows what impact is being made by your support. I bet you that this widow of Zarephath never dreamt about being mentioned here today. And that Lydia never had an idea in her wildest dreams that thousands of years ago people talk about her. Why? She simply opened her house. That's it. Who knows what God is doing through for you giving of yourself. Just to be part of what God is doing. In it. Don't think big. Think small. And if God calls you to the big things, yes, be ready. And I wish God does this. But he also needs those many, many supporters who keep a movement going. Jesus says in a different text a little bit later, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you or thirsty and give you to drink? And when did see the stranger, and when did we see a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And then Jesus says, "The king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did to me.'" Do you want to be part of something important that really changes the world? Do we want to be part of something big, of a movement that has been going on for thousands of years and will have and has the promise of success? It will succeed. Do you want to be part of that or just stand by and let it move by you? If you want to be part of that, it might be today that God knocks at your door and says, how about you? Do you want to give yourself to that? Do you see the vision for that? Do you want to be part of this? Do you want to live a life bigger than just the next paycheck and the next house and the next, you know, career change and all the stuff that so is, you know, that we is so consuming? Do you want to be part of more than that? That in the end of your life has counted and you made a difference. And that can be as little as teaching a child something about Jesus can change the world. You never know what will become out of that child. But because you invested some moments in the life of that child, and you may, your name will never be mentioned, maybe, but you made an impact. How can you put a price tag on that? How can you make a, something as? You have a family. You may have still kids at home. Invest in them. Not that they have a good life. Yes, that's great if they have. But that they get to know Jesus. That they follow Him and model that life. You never know what difference it will make. You never know. God is on the move. And may I say it with you or without you. But He's on the move. But He wants nothing more than you being part of that to represent Jesus here in this world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so, so humbled that this great move of yours has involved us human beings. And in fact, it has cost you a very, very costly price. That this all can happen is only possible because you sent Jesus. And not just to have a good life, but that He gave His life. And that He died on the cross so that sin is being removed. And the power of darkness is broken. And that the kingdom can break through in this world, into our lives. You have given everything for this movement. And now we want to give back to you. We want to give of ourselves. As we leave this room, as we meet people, let's remember that if we follow you, you meet them through us. But let us also be aware that you meet us through others, as they may speak into our lives, as they may impact us. And this week, you may call on our resources. Help us to be willing to give of our time, our talent, our strength. Help us to make the arrangements that are needed so that you are first. Help us to open our wallets if that's called for. Let us give what we have. It's yours anyhow. So that your movement and the movement of God will continue and this world will be changed. This we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. It's exciting to think about being part of that movement, right? And to think about being part of something that matters and counts. Would you stand with us as we sing another song today? This song, I think, encourages my spirit because it's all what Pastor Egbert was talking about. It is learning about submitting our lives and saying to Jesus, I want to be part of it. I want to live my life for you. But when we sing this song together and we say the words, I will follow and I will listen and Jesus, I'll serve you. And we hear other people singing it. We realize we are part of something bigger than our just ourselves. We're part of an army. We're part of a movement. And it's really neat to be encouraged by the voices of others singing this. So if you believe that and you want to commit your life to serving in this way, letting Jesus go with you to work, go with you to school, and all those things that He does, then let's just join our voices together and sing. Men are going to follow Dan on this song, and women, you can follow me. All right.